Welcome to episode 1249 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we continue our series, 1010 with Jesus, a deeper look. Last time, we explored the concept of being born again, or the spiritual new birth that Jesus identified as the foundational step for entering God's kingdom. We learned that this transformation is not a self-improvement project, but a recreation from the inside out. It's an act of God's grace that makes a new life possible. Today, we'll build on that foundation by exploring the spiritual practice that makes that new life real and vibrant: prayer. In a world that values busyness, efficiency, and constant noise, Jesus's example of prayer is profoundly countercultural. He didn't just tell people to pray, he demonstrated it as a central, non-negotiable part of his life. He made time for it, no matter how great the demands on him. Before he chose the 12 apostles, the men who would carry his message to the world, Luke 6:12 tells us he went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. He didn't rush this monumental decision. He gave it an entire night of dedicated prayer, seeking the Father's guidance. Before he walked on water or stilled the storm, Matthew 14:23 says he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. He sought solitude with the Father before engaging in supernatural acts. He showed that intimacy with God precedes public ministry and power. And in his final, most agonizing moments, Jesus's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane was a raw, honest conversation with his Father.
My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.
This was a prayer of surrender, not just a prayer for relief. It was his ultimate act of dependence. Prayer for Jesus was not a ritual or a formality. It was a vital, personal, and constant conversation that shaped every aspect of his ministry. It was his lifeline. So, what can we learn from Jesus about the purpose of prayer? He taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, and in doing so, he gave us a model that is both simple and profound.
And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Prayer is about relationship. The first words of the Lord's Prayer are, "Our Father in heaven." Jesus taught us to approach God not as a distant ruler or impersonal force, but as a loving Father. This is the heart of prayer, a conversation rooted in personal relationship, where we can be ourselves, with our hopes, fears, and doubts. Prayer is about God's will. Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." This reminds us, prayer is not just about our own desires. It's about aligning our hearts with God's heart, our plans with God's purposes. It is an act of surrendering our will to His. Prayer is about our needs. Jesus encouraged us to ask for our daily bread and ask for forgiveness for our sins. He knew we would have genuine needs, both physical and spiritual. Prayer is a place where we can bring requests, worries, and our failures to a God who listens and cares. Prayer is about spiritual warfare. The final petition of the Lord's Prayer is, "Deliver us from evil." Jesus tells us prayer is a weapon against spiritual darkness. It's where we find strength to resist temptation and to fight against forces that seek us harm. As Paul said in Ephesians 6, we are to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests as part of our spiritual armor. In a world that tells us to be self-sufficient, prayer is an act of dependence. In a world that says be in control, prayer is an act of surrender. In a world that values busyness, prayer is an act of stillness. It's a moment when we are not doing, but being. Let's get deep. The prayer life of Jesus reveals a deeper truth about the nature of God's power. We often think of power in terms of control, force, or influence. But Jesus's power was rooted in his complete dependence on the Father. His miracles, healing the sick, calming storms, raising the dead, were not acts of an independent hero, but expressions of a son who was completely aligned with his Father's will. He said,
"The son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing."
This is the beautiful paradox of the Christian life. Our greatest power is found in our powerlessness. Our deepest strength is found in our dependence on God. Jesus, the most powerful being to ever walk the earth, models for us that true authority comes not from our own might, but from our connection to the Father. So when we pray, we are not just asking God to do something for us. We are entering into that same dynamic of dependence that Jesus modeled. We are admitting that we cannot live the abundant life in our own strength. We are surrendering our limitations to God's unlimited power. This is the truth that sets us free from the burden of having to be perfect, having to be in control, and having to have all the answers. Jesus illustrates this beautifully in John 15 when he says,
"I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing."
Prayer is how we remain in the vine. It's the moment by moment, daily connection that gives us the spiritual nourishment to live a fruitful life. So, how do we make prayer a more central part of our lives today? It's not just a theological concept to debate, it's a reality to live out. Create a prayer rhythm. Jesus often withdrew to a solitary place to pray. Find a time and a place that you can regularly meet with God, free from distractions. It doesn't have to be a mountainside. It can be a quiet corner of your home, your car, or a local park. The key is to be consistent. Start small, maybe just 5 minutes a day, and watch how that time transforms the rest of your day. Pray honestly. Don't try to impress God with perfect words or eloquent phrases. Jesus's prayer in Gethsemane was raw and honest. He told God exactly how he felt. Bring your questions, your doubts, your anger, and your fears to God. He already knows them, and he wants to hear them from you. Authentic prayer is a pathway to intimacy with God. Pray the scriptures. If you don't know what to pray, use the Bible. The Psalms are filled with expressions of gratitude, lament, and praise that give us the words to express our own hearts. Or take a verse like, "Your kingdom come," and pray it over your family, your community, and your world. Let God's words become your prayers, filling your mind and heart with his truth. Practice contemplative prayer. Prayer isn't always about talking. Sometimes it's about listening. Find moments of stillness and silence. In these moments, you can simply be in God's presence, aware of his nearness. This is a practice of abiding, of just being with him. It trains us to be more aware of his presence throughout the day. Pray for others. A significant part of Jesus's prayer life was intercession for those around him. He prayed for his disciples, for those who would come to believe in him, and even for his enemies from the cross. Following his example, make a list of people in your life, friends, family, colleagues, and even those who have wronged you, and pray for them by name. Intercessory prayer is a powerful way to put our faith into action and to participate in God's work in the lives of others. The conversation doesn't end here. Take these questions into your communities, your churches, and your own prayer life. And remember, the goal isn't to win arguments about Jesus. It's to be transformed by him. Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer. Thank you for a model in Jesus who showed us how to live in constant communion with you. Teach us to depend on you, to align our will with yours, and to find our strength in our relationship with you. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full, today.